Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And for this week, I think there are two obvious topics we need to focus on. The first is the US presidential election. Obviously, everybody is aware of the outcome, but I think increasingly we're going to explore the policy implications of a Trump victory. Obviously, ahead of the election, the Trump campaign highlighted a broad range, a very wide range of policy suggestions. But I think we need to narrow that down and focus on where we think some of the key policy initiatives would come from, and then quickly discuss some of the implications. The other topic is obviously the US Federal Reserve's interest rate decision last week to cut interest rates 25 basis points. I think that was widely expected. But as usual, it's more about the detail and what we can expect from the US interest rate cycle during the course of next year. The outcome of the US election has actually not fully been decided. Obviously, we know who the president is. We know the breakdown of the Electoral College votes. We know that the Senate has gone to the Republican Party, but we're waiting for the outcome for the House of Representatives. At this stage, the Republican Party is in the lead with 214 seats versus 203 for the Democratic Party, and the projections suggest that the Republican Party will be in charge of the House, which would then give the Republican complete control over President, Senate, and House, and therefore the whole of Congress. In addition, if we break down the governor elections, 27 of the governors are Republican, 23 are Democrat, which means this is essentially a complete victory for the Republican Party, including the popular vote. It puts Trump in a very powerful position to effect a whole lot of policy changes, and that's where the focus is. Now, when we go through the policies that the Trump campaign suggested, there's a huge array of policy measures, some of which are nonsensical, some of them are contradictory. But in essence, I think we can divide the policy initiatives into four primary areas. The first is fiscal policy, and that is the intention to extend the tax cuts that are scheduled to expire at the end of next year, potentially even cut the corporate tax further. At the moment, it sits at 21%. Trump reduced it initially from 35% to 21%. And he, at the time, wanted the corporate tax rate to go down to 15%. So there is a chance that Trump will try and extend the corporate tax cuts further and then ensure that the tax breaks for households, as I say, that are scheduled to expire at the end of next year, that those are extended. Obviously, that will put government's fiscal position under more pressure, probably result in a larger budget deficit and result in a higher level of government debt. But I guess the Trump campaign would hope that it inspires more economic growth and that they reap some benefit as a result of that higher economic growth in terms of tax receipts. So there's going to be a huge focus during the course of next year on the US fiscal position, and there's going to be an ongoing concern that the debt level isn't being brought under control. The second area of discussion is essentially around import duties. Trump highlighted that he wanted to impose import duties pretty much on all imports going into the US, I guess in particular imports from China, where the idea is to impose restrictions at least 60% and then higher restrictions on electric motor vehicles. He also wants to impose import tariffs on general imports in the order of 15 or 20%. Obviously, that is problematic in terms of global trade. It probably would result in a retaliation from other countries and effectively set off an international trade war. Nobody wins that. You find that over time, it does tend to restrict global trade, which indirectly then restricts global growth, and there are no winners out of a global trade war. But nevertheless, I think the Trump campaign is arguing that they need to protect local industry because U.S. manufacturing has been under pressure for a couple of decades. I think that's a false narrative from the Trump campaign. I don't think they have an ability to revive US manufacturing. There are many other factors that go into the manufacturing base and explain why the US manufacturing has evolved the way it has. Nevertheless, I think you are going to see tariffs implemented, and it's possible that the Trump administration uses the threat of tariffs as a bargaining chip when it comes to international negotiations. There is also the risk that as you impose higher duties, you create some inflationary pressure, especially if you get so-called second round effects of higher import duties take hold. So that will concern the Federal Reserve. I don't think they respond initially, but it could restrict the willingness of the Federal Reserve to keep cutting interest rates. So I think next year, international trade and trade tariffs is going to be a huge topic of discussion. The third area is immigration. Clearly, the Trump campaign has been suggesting that they'll even go as far as deporting people, restricting certainly illegal immigrants into the U.S., and generally tighten up border controls. Now, on the face of it, that is certainly a justifiable response, but I think there has to be a recognition that immigration has been hugely beneficial to the US economy, in particular supplying a much needed labor market. And therefore, if you overly restrict immigration, you run the risk of pushing wages higher, which in turn would result in some inflation and an interest rate response. So it does depend hugely on how this is managed and the message you send to business regarding the availability of labor. And then the fourth topic is really around regulation. The Trump administration made it clear that they wanted to deregulate a number of key sectors, in particular the energy sector, which would mean you make it easier for people to extract fossil fuels. That also implies that you pay less attention to climate issues, to environmental issues, and it would undoubtedly set the world back in terms of its fight against climate control. Again, we need to see what is implemented as a specific policy initiative, but the general idea is to encourage business to invest in the energy sector and encourage generally business to invest in a whole range of industries. On the face of it, some of these policies could be beneficial to the US in terms of stimulating more economic growth, could be beneficial in terms of eking out some efficiency gains, but equally, it could be detrimental in terms of not paying attention to the fiscal balances and allowing the debt level to become even more inflated, and it could start a global trade war that is ultimately detrimental to the US economy and to US business. I think what we need to do is pay attention to who Trump appoints within his administration, who are the key positions in terms of what are those individuals thinking around economic policy, and then start to pay attention to which actual policy measures are implemented and what of the policy ambit is really up for negotiation and is really effectively a negotiating tool versus policies that will actually be implemented fairly quickly and will have a decisive effect on the US economic performance. We'll try and update that as we go along. I think Trump is not going to hang around and wait for to build a consensus around some of these initiatives. I think he'll move quite quickly to implement some of the changes and then deal with the fallout that may result as a consequence of that. So a lot that's going to occupy our minds after the inauguration of Trump. I think Trump will make a lot of statements ahead of the inauguration, certainly announce some of his key appointees, and so we'll quite quickly get a sense of what he's trying to focus on in the early stages of his election campaign. Another topic we need to discuss is the Federal Reserve's decision to cut interest rates by 0.25%. As I said in the introduction, I think there was no surprise with that decision. And clearly, there is the possibility that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates again in December. The markets have repriced that expectation. At one point, it was sitting at up over 80%. That's been moderated to just over 60%. But I think it's a distinct possibility. What stood out for me in terms of the discussion at the press conference are two things. First, there's an acknowledgement that the US economy is doing exceptionally well. The feeling at the beginning of the year, or certainly during the middle of the year, was that the US economy is slowing down and there was an increased risk of the US going into a recession. Subsequent to that, the data has generally surprised on the upside, and so there's now a lot less chance of a recession, and in fact, even a soft landing may not materialize. You would say overall, the US economy continues to grow at over 2%, which is a decent outcome under most circumstances. So I think the Federal Reserve willing to acknowledge that growth has been stronger than thought, and that in particular the labor market remains solid despite the disappointing labor data last month, which was heavily impacted by the two hurricanes that hit the US Florida area. The other topic which I think the Federal Reserve highlighted, which is probably more important, and that is that they expressed some disappointment with the progress in getting inflation fully under control. And I think that's understandable. If you look at core inflation within the US, that sits at 3.3%. That's still some way away from the target of 2%. That doesn't mean that inflation hasn't moderated. It's clearly been brought much more under control. But the last leg of getting inflation down to 2% is proving to be problematic. Now, clearly, if the US economy is still quite vibrant, which it is, and at the same time, the Trump administration is likely to introduce policy measures which will result in some inflationary pressure, then clearly that would concern the Federal Reserve at this stage of the business cycle. As I say, I don't think that stops them cutting interest rates in December. But early next year, when they are more able to fully evaluate what a Trump presidency means, and they'll have a little bit more information on what inflation is doing, it may force them to be a little bit more hesitant or reluctant to continue to cut interest rates. That would suggest that they could stop cutting at a slightly higher level and then wait to see how economic developments play out beyond that. There is a good argument to suggest that if the economy is still in a strong position, then why are you cutting interest rates? Clearly, you haven't got inflation fully under control, and therefore perhaps you should simply go on hold in terms of your interest rate cycle, even if interest rates are still a little bit elevated. So I think the Federal Reserve is paying attention to all of those factors and will probably be able to summarize that better early next year. And I think we'll by then get a better sense of what the interest rate cycle will look like during the course of next year. But at this stage, we're just highlighting that there is some hesitancy creeping into the Federal Reserve in terms of the outlook for interest rates during the course of this business cycle. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.